This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Good to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Cougs had a great weekend. Rockets split this weekend. I was so mad at the Rockets that they lost last night because it took some of the starch out of Amen Thompson making Tyler Hero his son basically on Friday against the Miami Heat. That was fun to see Amen Thompson schooling Tyler Hero on Friday. That was cool.
Amen Thompson, probably one of the more underrated keys to the playoffs that in Houston people are very much plugged into, but elsewhere they think of him as like a nice wing player. I think that's Amen Thompson going off the way he did was really, really cool to watch.
It was cool on Friday, and yet he didn't play much of the fourth quarter at all yesterday. So I'm still Rockets, I'm a little mad at you today. I'll be over it by tomorrow, don't worry.
The other intriguing thing about the Rockets as of late is the two big men lineup where both Şengün and Adams are in, and they were working that yesterday. It just not with the same level of effectiveness. The rebounding was not a strength through the first three quarters.
No,
and especially when they're out there and there's no Jokic. Just let's take advantage of this, huh? Mm-hmm. So it felt like a missed opportunity. It's just. I don't have nearly the same level of frustration that I would have when they were in the middle of their rough stretch before this win streak began, because they've by and large been a much more consistent basketball team.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, I mean, I just don't want to make excuses. I mean, when the Rockets' shots aren't going in, I'm emotionally dead inside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why don't you make these shots that you sometimes make, but usually don't anyway.
For rooting for a good team, you must be emotionally dead quite a bit. That's not a good shooting basketball team.
I know. I'm way more engaged with offensive rebounds than I am with actual shooting percentage. That's what kind of the weird relationship we have with this basketball team.
It is. Chris Long. Greenlight Podcast, former Philadelphia Eagle, really good defensive lineman in the league for a number of years. On his podcast, he is very in tune with the Eagles, obviously. So he's a big C.J. Gardner-Johnson guy. Thinks this is a huge pickup for the Houston Texans.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Eagles trading him to the Texans. On the Texans side of things, man, that secondary, we talk a lot about how fast and violent that secondary is. I'm sensing a pattern. Love C.J.'s energy. Love his speed, the way he'll throw his hat in there. It's his energy. It's his dog mentality. It's the speed with which he plays, the intensity, that it elevates everybody around him. I think you're going to Houston where he's got some guys just like him. The physicality in a group that features Lassiter, Stingley, Petrie, this dude, they're going to be taking heads off. You talk about trying to get on the perimeter in the run game and seeing bodies flying downhill and catching a check down and picking your teeth up off the turf in Houston. Like that is the visual that I think D'Amico Ryans has for the secondary, and I really like it.
It's one of the more unexpected things going into this offseason for the hot points on what the Texans really needed. The promise of Kalen Bullock has kind of, at least in my case, it kind of made me forget that, like, all right, I mean, yeah, you can get by with Eric Murray or MJ Stewart or what have you, but you still really don't have a guy you feel good about alongside Kalen Bullock out there. And Kalen Bullock is still a work in progress. He played like a rookie in a lot of ways and respects last year, but he got better as the year went along. But he's still going to have some young player glitches and blips along the way. I mean, but you go into this year where last year in the offseason, Jalen Petrie playing the nickelback position was a huge question mark. We just didn't know how it was going to look. He was coming off of a disappointing year. He had Lassiter, a rookie, who, oh no, didn't run a fast 40 at the combine. And you had Kalen Bullock, who most people were upset about wasn't a veteran free agent that you would sign instead of Kalen Bullock. And then you had Eric Murray or MJ Stewart, whoever else the other safety was going to be. I don't want to say it's a 180-degree turnaround, but there was really only one position you felt good about in the secondary going into last season that you felt rock solid about, and that was Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
If he could stay healthy.
Yeah, even that. Yeah, right. You had the health black cloud hanging over that whole thing.
So, yeah, that's one of the – it's kind of tippy-toed its way into all of a sudden being – everything that Chris Long just talked about, because it happened gradually. It didn't happen with a couple of big draft picks here or that. It was Derek Stingley working out as a guy that could start day one. It was Kalen Bullock coming along during the season. It was Jalen Petrie playing the way he did at the nickelback position. And then now it's MJ Stewart added to a defense that had the second most interceptions in the league last year. It is, I'm not going to get ahead of myself because you still got to go out and play football games, but the style and brand of football that D'Amico likes to play, it feels like adding C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the mix, it just feels like you added a keg of dynamite to everything. The guy's got 12 interceptions in his last two full seasons. He only played a few games in 2023. But going over the last 3 years, he's got 12 interceptions in regular season games.
This is where I would be real curious if there were other teams talking to the Eagles about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Like, he's a productive, very productive player. Like you've said, what is it? 13 picks over the last 12.
It's in the last three. It's like in the last 35 regular season games, he's got 12 picks.
So he's very productive. Yeah, like productive in a big way. Like the most important way, he turns other teams over. So I'm curious if there were other teams talking about giving something to the Eagles for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, in which case, if there were multiple teams, the fact that they chose the deal where the main thing you're getting back is Kenyon Green is kind of remarkable, you know, like, and probably plays into the fact, like, that would truly mean that you actually did get something, like the Kenyon Green actually brought value, as opposed to just being like, okay, we'll duke you this guy. That's why I'm like, this guy's a good football player, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And so I think there's a lot of people like, that's all you could get for him was Kenyon Green. Like, no, it may be where there were two or three teams talking to the Eagles, not offering anything great.
It's one of those things where they were probably going to cut him for cap reasons regardless. So they were looking to see what was the best thing we could get. And another couple teams probably were maybe giving up a sixth or a seventh round pick or what have you. But they like the upside of Kenyon Green.
I'm just curious. Were the Texans the only one, or were there multiple teams in on C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
There were, so it was 13 picks in the last 32 regular season games.
It's a lot.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I think with Kenyon Green, the frustrating thing was that for us as fans was that I think Caserio still saw the upside in Kenyon Green, but we'd also seen the inconsistency, the injuries, everything else. I mean, the thing that finally got him benched this year ultimately was Kenyon Green getting injured on a play in which he allowed a sack versus C.J. Stroud. It couldn't have been more perfect. Like, finally, okay, he's benched now. Now, after you almost get C.J. Stroud murdered by Quinnen Williams again, yet again. But I don't want to say luckily, but as fate would have it, Kenyon Green himself gets injured on that play, and that's when he gets benched. That's how much Caserio was intrigued by the upside of Kenyon Green.
So I
think the Eagles look at Kenyon Green, and they're probably intrigued by his upside too. But they also happen to have Jeff Stoutland, who's one of the best offensive line coaches in history, on their staff. So that's where that probably looked more enticing to them than a sixth or a fifth round pick from somebody else.
I would just be curious how many teams may have made the call about that, and if Kenyon Green was what they chose is interesting. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, more speeding ticket stories. I got out of a speeding ticket because the cop locked the keys in the car, so I offered him a ride back to the office, and he declined.
Oh. But he also was like,
oh, my God. It's like Roscoe who pulled you over? Roscoe from the Dukes of Hazzard?
I got a question for the law enforcement.
I locked my keys in my car.
I got a question for the law enforcement officers that are listening. Is the whole end of the month thing, is that just a myth or is there a quota?
The quotas?
Yeah. I always, to this day, I still am extra careful towards the end of the month because I assume that there's quotas that some cops are trying to go out and
fill. Man. Like, thinking, that's some next level thinking right there.
Oh, I thought that was standard.
No, but like thinking about it while I'm driving, I never pay attention to what the date is or anything like
that.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I just grew up with it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of those things that I thought everybody thought about, but maybe no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that a myth or not, or is that just my crazy old father?
Yeah, is it real? How about this? Got arrested for racing, going 104 and a 55, but the trooper let us go because he had arrested the other guy's dad a week prior and felt bad for us. Where the hell did you grow up, Talladega? Oh my God. Hey, did you see that? I mean, what could possibly go wrong with this? Over the weekend, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins both bought Lamborghinis and were racing them around on the highways in Miami. They were like,
oh no,
speeding around. Yeah, like filming themselves and things like that.
Filming
yeah.
themselves?
Well, someone's filming them driving around. Yeah, like yeah.
Well, I mean, but it's actually worth if they were actually filming as they were driving. Like, could you tell if they were actually going super fast or were they just kind of gunning it here and there?
They were. I know in Ja'Marr Chase's tweet, he talked about wanting to go around and test these things out. You know, like he was alluding
to
driving fast.
Yeah, it's hard to test a Lamborghini out without going way faster.
Right. So, and you never know. Like from the video, like exactly how fast they're going, but it was like I'm watching this. I'm going, even if they're going like just around the speed limit, this is really stupid to put out there on video for any reason.
I was never intrigued by Lamborghinis all that much until I was over at an event at Zadok Jewelers, mm-hmm. and one of the guys there had a Lamborghini that was built. It was a touring Lamborghini. So it was basically built for these long races across the desert and everything. So it had like badass off-road almost type tires on it. It had a luggage rack on top and everything. It was pretty cool, man. But I don't know. Mostly I just wouldn't trust myself on Houston roads with a Lamborghini. I think I would take, I'd probably be getting, I'd hit a pothole way too often.
Yes. Yeah. The roads here. Yeah. You damage a $300,000 vehicle. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. Let's circle back to the Astros. Opening day is on Thursday. I feel like we're awaiting decisions on about three or four spots on the roster. Is the biggest decision for this team an either or could both these guys make the club? We'll talk about that. I'll tell you who it is coming up next.